is always in this battle for top. It's always pushing others down as it like tries to climb up the ladder in pride. I was a lifeguard way back. And they always told you whenever you go up to a drowning victim, approach them from the back. Approach them from behind, because when someone's drowning, they will try to climb on top of anything that's around. Even if you're trying to come save them. If you come up from the front, they're going to claw your face, trying to climb on top of you and push you down. And that's what it's like when you're living out of selfishness. You're just climbing on top of whoever, whatever. You're just pushing them under. You don't care about anybody else but yourself. You're drowning everyone around you. You're drowning your family if you're putting yourself above others. The Spirit-centered life, on the other hand, is directed towards your own lowliness, towards subservience, towards serving others. And it lifts others up in humility. The strong person is the humble person. It takes much more strength to be humble than it does to be prideful. The Spirit-filled believer does not, as Philippians 2:4 say, does not merely look out for his own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. Philippians 2:4, if you want to look it up later. He looks out for the interests of others. And then he makes amends with others. He makes amends with others. Turn to Matthew 5:23. I want us to all turn there. Matthew 5:23. I want to read through 24. It says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, today we could say, you know, if you are coming to worship God, if you're going before the Lord in prayer, and there, when you come to that moment, there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Have you ever had those arguments or something? That other person is wrong. They offended you, or they did something. They took your this, or they'd done that, and they clearly are the wrong person. You ever been there? And you, I am not going to go make up with them. I've been the first one too many times. They need to come make up with me. You ever been in that place? I'll tell you this. The spiritually mature believer always goes first. Even if they are wrong. Right here it says, if you remember that your brother has something against you, not that you have something against your brother, even when they are wrong, you go. And that shows who is more mature. The more mature person in the relationship always goes to make amends. Always goes to say, I'm sorry. Always goes to say, hey, we can just get over this. We need to get right together. In the family, husband and wife relationship, father-son, mother-daughter, at work, between friends, the one who is the most matured goes, no matter who is wrong. So this verse here says, be subject. The word in the Greek is hupotasso. And originally it was a military term meaning to arrange or rank under. Come under your authority. The Spirit-filled Christian will rank themselves under, get this, one another. Rank themselves under. Have you ever gone out to eat and you're all sitting in the car and there's one person's like, we're going here. I don't care what anyone says. We're going to go eat here. This is what I want to eat. And no one else's opinion matters. So you're going to that place. And then you go somewhere else with another group of friends or something, and nobody can decide where we're going to go eat. No, I'm fine. Just wherever you want to go, I'm good. And everyone just knows you can't do anything. This is the attitude we're to have, is this submitting to whatever other people decide. But you've also been there and you just kind of sit in the parking lot and you're like, well, someone's got to make a decision. Right? Well, the leader should decide to go wherever the other people want to go. But someone's got to make a decision, right? This is kind of like the way God wants all our relationships to operate. He appoints a leader in all these relationships, but that leader is to take everyone else's opinion into view, not his own. Not his own. He's to lay down his desires for the others. So we're to be subject to each other. The main idea is to give away your rights to another person. Lay your rights down. You may have your rights. You may totally be deserving whatever it is. But you lay those down to serve others. Paul told the Corinthians to be in subjection to their faithful ministers. 1 Corinthians 16:16 says, and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. He says, to all those be in subjection. Then Peter commands us to submit ourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether as king, as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right, for such is the will of God. 1 Peter 2:13-15. A nation can't function without this authority, and we got to submit ourselves to the authority. And it's the same with the family. It's the same with fathers and sons and mothers and sons and daughters. It's all have to have some sort of authority, but there's the submission there. When the church operates apart from God's system of authority, it creates confusion, and frequently it creates heresy. Because when there's people not living according to God's way, they look for things that please themselves instead of to God's word. It's even true in the home. We must submit to God. The family would not be right without authority. It would be constant bickering and fighting for who's right, who's doing the, I want to do my way. We got to define our relationships by what the Bible says. Philippians 2:5-8 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ is God, and he submitted to the point of death on a cross. He came to earth and he's God. He's God, and he came and submitted to authorities. He came and submitted to his parents. In all aspects of his life, he submitted, and he had all authority. He has all authority, and he still submitted in the correct way, as we are supposed to do. If Jesus Christ can do it, and he has all authority, who in the world are we to think we are too good to do it? To not live according to his principles, according to his law. It must be mutual submission in all relationships. We even see that the disciples had a problem with this. Jesus was continually having to teach them about submission. Mark chapter 9, Jesus asked the disciples a question. They were walking, going along the way to Capernaum, and when they got there, he says, what were you talking about along the way? And Mark 9:33-35 says, they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them, what were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent. I like the way Jesus does this. I'm sure he knew exactly what they were talking about, whether it was by his divine power or by just his intuition, humanly. He knew, but otherwise he wouldn't have asked. He says, what were y'all talking about? But they kept silent. For on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. But they didn't say anything. Here's Christ's response. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, He shall be last and servant of all. Last and servant of all, submitting. Then a little later, the next chapter, Mark 10, the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, had a question for Jesus. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. First of all, who are they to even be asking this? I would feel inadequate to ask Jesus, do whatever I ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory. And Jesus said to them, you don't even know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized? And they said to him, we are able. Then Jesus says to them, the cup that I drink, yes, you shall drink. And you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. The rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. They make much of their authority. They really ham it up when they're telling people to do this and do that. They lord it over them. But it is not this way among you. They knew they were going to be leaders. They were Jesus' right-hand man. They'd been sent out to make disciples and do all these things. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. You want to know how to make it to the top in Christianity? Be the servant of everyone. Submit in all your relationships. Submit to the authority of God's Word. The Christian, the Spirit-filled believer, is about submitting. About putting others first, putting God first. You must become slave of all. Verse 45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. No matter what the relationship, we're always to submit to that person, to their needs, to their spiritual progress, to take their wants, to take their needs, to take their welfare into consideration as more important than our own. Always. When Jesus was asked in Mark 12:28, what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment, Jesus? He answered by saying, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The greatest commandment is submit to God. But he goes beyond this. He was just asked about one. But he goes beyond this, and he adds on the second one in line. Not only are we to submit to God, but the second is this, he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, there's no other commandment greater than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. You shall put their needs above your own. You shall submit to them. The spiritually mature person will submit to others, period. If you're walking with the Spirit, you're going to put the others first. I pray that we will be seeking to submit to God so we can be Spirit-filled and we'll have right relationships. This is our joy in Christ, is to live this way. In submission, mutual submission. Just imagine how much smoother things would be if we didn't all insist on our own individual way. If we were all together on God's Word. If we all submitted to God and His Word and authority in His Word, how wonderful everything would be to run according to God's plan. Let's consider others more highly than ourselves. And to be first, we must be last. Let's pray. Father, we submit to you. Lord, you have told us that this is our greatest act of love to you, is being obedient, an obedient, willing servant, Father. Lord, this morning we lay down ourselves, we lay down our opinions, we lay down our wants, our rights. And Father, I pray we would put others in place of those, others' wants, others' rights, above our own, Father. Lord, we see that Jesus did this when He had all authority, Father. Lord, we are called to do the same. Lord, give us the strength to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.